In another race not yet postponed by the court or anyone else, General Wesley Clark is considering joining the ranks of Democratic candidates for president. He's expected to make an announcement in the next few days. Last week, he came by the day-to-day studios and talked with us about who he is and why he might want to be the nation's chief executive. General Clark, what would motivate someone to run for president today, someone like yourself?
For me, I've always been in public service. And my decision after getting out was to go into private business and to try to get some of the fruits of America's prosperity for myself and my own family. But after 9/11, I was drawn back into this, and it's been very hard to let go because I've seen the policy go the wrong way in this country.
You haven't been exposed to national political life the way many of the other Democrats who are running for president have been. We don't know who you are or what you believe.
Well, I grew up in Little Rock, Arkansas. I believe in public service and leadership. That's why I went to West Point. And I believe people are essentially want to do good and want to be recognized for doing good and are best motivated by positive leadership rather than negative leadership.
You say that you believe people are generally good and motivated by good things, but certainly the United States today confronts genuine enemies around the world who, from our standpoint, are not motivated by good.
Well, look, I mean, there are always challenges out there in the world arena, and the United States is the most powerful nation in the world. We're more than powerful enough to handle any of these threats, and we can handle them, and we can handle them the right way. I fully supported going after the Taliban regime in Afghanistan, but and that was a superb military operation. It kicked off well. I give Don Rumsfeld and our president tremendous credit for that because they really took an unformed situation. They led the military to apply resources to it, and they achieved some remarkable results. We didn't get Osama bin Laden out of that, and we could have. But somewhere in that area, we picked up the old hobby horse of Iraq and decided we wanted to use forces against Iraq. And the administration made the best case it could, and the American public wanted strong leadership, and it went along with it. And now people are asking, was this really necessary? I never thought it was at the time. I was always concerned about it. And now, as it turns out, we're into a very difficult place.
Are you saying that the administration, in building the case for Iraq, was essentially being dishonest with the American people?
I'm saying they were giving the strongest case possible to go after Iraq for reasons that we've never fully understood, a collection of reasons, not a single one of which in itself would have been compelling, but collectively in the minds of the leadership of this administration were sufficient to justify this action. So they put the best case forward, and they trimmed the intelligence assessments, so they removed the doubts and the qualifiers in the intelligence assessments. There's a long track record of language that's misleading, and that use of language is not accidental. It's been deliberate. It's the speeches that he made back in February and March, he would go around and say, if we're forced to go to war, well, we weren't forced to go to war. We set a timetable for going to war. We wanted that war to start in March, not later than, because there was an idea that somehow it was going to be over and then we get the troops home and then we could fix the economy and then everything would roll on smoothly from there. And we didn't give the UN time to finish its work. We didn't give the allies time to get on board with the policy because we had in our mind an artificial timetable.
General Clark, let's look ahead and say you win the Democratic nomination. You are elected president. What do you do about Iraq?
Well, before I take office, I'd be over there and looking at it. But I think that the broad outlines of success are, number one, you have to encourage Iraq's neighbors not to destabilize it. Right now, both Syria, Iran, and even to some extent Saudi Arabia are concerned that the emergence of a democratic government in Iraq would be used by the United States as a means of going after their regimes next. So our presence there constitutes a potentially mortal threat to three regimes. That's part of what's drawing the opposition in against us. Then inside Iraq, you've got to establish a civilian government that's representative of the Iraqi people, that will maintain the unity of Iraq and that will maintain its internal security so it doesn't become a breeding ground for terrorism or a recruiting field. So those are the broad outlines. Now, to do it takes money, it takes time, it takes resources, and it takes smart leadership.
General Clark, thank you for speaking with us on Day to Day.
Thank you.